guys, it's Lo. Welcome to another episode of Lady Lovin' on this beautiful and very hot Monday. Hi.
Hello.
Is anybody else in the room with me today?
Yes. Sorry. I was just saying, it feels like we're moving in a bowl of pudding. It's so hot outside.
I feel like I don't think it's that hot.
It's really hot.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
My brain is moving slow, but hopefully today's podcast can make it, you know, the pace pick up a little
bit. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I think it will.
We have an amazing guest on the show today. I think that our listeners will be thrilled to find out that we have Stephanie Mark, the co-founder of the Covetour, on the show today. Welcome.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Woo!
We always like our studio audience.
Yeah, we're our own studio audience. But this is exciting because your site is huge. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Like, you were like a get. Jill was like, we have the co-founder of the company.
Yeah, you were.
I was like, guys, big email.
We were like, holy shit.
You were like, she's a flake. She's canceled 5 times.
It's okay.
But now she's here.
Summer is very hard to schedule. Well, so I never give anyone.
And there's four of us. So yeah. Four schedules to schedule.
Yeah, it's not just you and one other person. We were just, before you came, we were just talking about how the only thing, like, we love our podcast so much, and the only stressful thing is coordinating
schedules.
All of our schedules, because it's like coordinating a time to do a bunch of work with 3 people every week. It's a lot
in the middle of the day. Yeah. No, it's hard.
Yeah,
it's
hard. Exactly. It's a little tricky, but we're so happy to have you.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here.
We're so happy to talk to you about the Covetour and about fashions. See, Jill's probably, well, Greta. I don't know. I'm looking at both of you.
Yeah, you're looking at us with mysterious eyes. Yeah. What's happening?
You both love fashions equally as much.
Yeah.
I love fashions, but I'm not as fashionable as either of you.
Greta and I have a very different style, though.
Yes, we do. I would say that for sure.
But yeah, I think we both like fashion a lot.
I love fashion. I realize that I love, like, I love accessories so much. I'm a shoe freak. Like, my shoe collection, I will say, I have a beautiful shoe collection. And I get that from my mother.
We see that all the time. The Covetour is, like, for shoe hoarders.
I'm a shoe hoarder.
Like, you do have great closet shoe shots.
Yeah.
I mean,
just dangling on books. Well, wait, hold on. Before we go down the road of fashion,
the deep dive
stuff,
into the
dark
hole,
you tell our lovely listeners a little bit about what the Covetour is and what inspired you to start it?
Sure. So the Covetour, now it's basically, you know, insider access to all things, you know, style and culture. And initially that started off in fashion. And the original idea for it was going inside people's homes and showcasing their personal style. And the type of person we wanted to showcase really was a behind the scenes person. So this was 5 years ago when, you know, Twitter had come out and Instagram was just about to come out, where people were realizing that, you know, Rihanna has like a full, yes, she's very stylish. She perhaps was not the best example, but like Cameron Diaz, for example, like, she just doesn't walk out of the house every day like looking amazing with all her glam outfits that she put together herself. Like, there's a full team of people, you know, behind these celebrities and street style stars who look amazing. And then on the flip side, there was also, you know, people who innately had that really great sense of style, like an Anna Delarusso or Miroslava Duma, and what does their process look like? So it was kind of a combination of shining light on unsung, like, what we consider to be unsung heroes of fashion. So editors, photo directors, casting directors, hairstylists, makeup artists, you know, anyone, people in art, you know, just the people that really never get their cred at the time. Now it's completely different, but, and also people's process. So when we first started going into the closet, quickly after we had done a couple, we realized that people's homes and interiors and their environment say just as much about them as their clothing do. So like, my apartment's a hot mess, and that's like pretty much what I am. She's a hot mess, her apartment's a hot mess. Great. So, you know, then we started really incorporating the two, and that's how we kind of came up with the signature way of styling people's houses. So a lot of the times you'll see, you know, dress hanging off of a picture or shoes on a bookshelf, and we really go into the closet and try and curate different themed stories or vignettes based on, you know, what we think will be the best representation of that person's style. So that's really how it started. And then after a couple years, like similar to what we're doing now, we would always come back to the office and just like talk about all the shit that we saw. We can say shit, right?
Yeah. Okay. You can say anything you want.
Talk about all the fucking shit that we saw.
Fuck donkeys. Mm-hmm. Okay. For all I care. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. I'm curious about that term. We'll have to talk about that later.
So we would talk about all the stuff we saw. We'd be like, oh my God, everyone has this like Rodan face oil and everyone has this candle. And then, I don't know, it took us like a pretty long time of talking about it to realize that that in itself was content. And it was really great, you know, lifestyle content that fit our mantra of, you know, exclusivity, information that you wouldn't find somewhere else, things that, you know, came from an influencer or a tastemaker. So that's how we started really expanding. And now we do a ton in beauty, fitness, health and wellness, travel, some men's. We have a book coming out, so pre-order it on Amazon, please.
Oh, wow. Cool. What is the book about?
So the book is just our signature closet. So there's 44 people. So half is a curation of what we feel represents the Coveture best out of all the people we've shot. And then the other half are just really great people exclusive for the book. So like Amari Stoudemire, Christian Louboutin, Angela Missoni. A really great, like,
I would love to go into Angela Missoni's.
Well, you could buy the book.
I will.
And then you'll go like, inside.
Who was the first ever guest that you had on the Coveture? Does that make sense? Guest?
Yeah.
Person or featured?
Yeah. Feature. Mm-hmm. So when we launched with six on the first day. So we called them the original six.
The six pack.
Six pack, basically. It was Mona Scharf, who is now head of PR at Valentino. Mary-Kate Steinmiller. I think Eugene Tong, John Gerhardt, oh fuck, someone else and someone else. Oh, Fiona Green, and I want to say maybe Joanna Hillman. So those were the OG six.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah.
Were you friends with all of those people? Were you like, hey, Fiona, some of it, I'm launching this website and I want to feature you.
It was all like a weird mix of timing. So some people we had known. The mm-hmm. company started out of Toronto, but I had previously lived.
I was
lived.
Going to say, I know you're Canadian.
Yeah.
I hear accent. It in your voice.
I know. Yeah. We can't. We try and hide it. We
I went
can't
to
hide
camp
it.
In Canada for like 8 years.
What camp?
You're Tamara. Almost a
Canadian. Oh my God. Hello, Jewish summer camp. Yes, basically. Hello. So, yeah, we started in Toronto. One of the other co-founders used to live in New York. I used to live in New York. We actually had a meeting right when we came up with the idea with Taylor Tomasi. And she was like, this is an amazing idea. I personally will not do it. But here's a list of like all of my friends and all these people say that I referred you. It sounds like a great project. Mm-hmm. So we just started shooting. And what happened was we would shoot one person. It's really chill. It was literally like three Canadians like showing up on your doorstep for 2 hours and just like hanging out in your apartment, like going through your stuff, being like, this is all so amazing. And then a lot of times at the end, they're like, you should shoot my friend X. And then it was the beginning, like really based on like a referral system and us pitching and begging and pleading.
I feel like then it got to the point where like everyone wants to be on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people.
Because now you do like tons of celebrities.
Yeah, we try and keep a balance of, you know, just amazing people who are, you know, pure collectors and their collection is just insane. We've had amazing celebrities. So, I mean, Oprah, that was pretty mage. like Reese Witherspoon, that was really great also. And yeah, just industry people that we think would be inspiring, have an inspiring story to tell and would be interesting to our readers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have a question because we all live in New York. You guys are more fashion girls than me. The fashion crowd really intimidates me.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you, I think that there's that side to it, but like one of the best things about the Coveture ever, at least for me, is that everyone that we've worked with has been like so nice. That's the most inspiring part of the whole thing, is that you're in someone's house and, you know, for us at least, it can be really intimidating because you're walking in and, you know, like we just had Grace Connington on the site. Mm-hmm. Like, what do? When you walk into your house, you are really scared.
Yeah.
And then they're all so nice and really open and really encouraging. And I think it almost reinforces that, yes, these people are insanely talented, but a lot of the reason they are why they are is because other people like working with them.
Right.
They're nice. You know, you don't mind being on set with people who you have fun with and who make it enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, a big takeaway for me. And then people also who are mean is like, no. So no time. Yes. No time.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid. Like, I go to these, like, dinners and stuff where I maybe know, like, one person and I'm, like, so no, afraid it, to, like, go up to somebody and be like, hi, this is who I am. Do you want to be friends?
Will you eat dinner with me? I don't like going to things like that.
Yeah. Sometimes that's so intimidating, too, because also you, like, see on Instagram and everyone's posting these photos and it's just, like, such an augmented view of, like, what it actually is.
Right.
That I think that it seems much more intimidating than actually, like, what it really is.
But,
you know?
Like, everyone's friends right. and they yeah. know each other.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think like anyone likes going to that kind of shit. I don't. It's so awkward.
Yeah, I find it to be awkward too, just because I also just moved here like 8 months ago. So for me, I find it's like, I think
people. Where did you move here from?
Toronto.
Oh, you just moved here from Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our whole office is here now.
Got it.
So yeah, I think a lot of the time people also, because we've shot so many people, assume that like we know everyone.
Right.
And then I'll walk into a thing and I'll be like, well, I literally know no one here.
Right. Yeah. So. Well, I think it's like any community, any like whether
industry,
any industry that you're in, like, you know, it's just the more time you spend in it, the more you know people, and everyone feels like just as awkward as you.
Yeah.
I think that that's like the biggest thing that I've come to realize about like all of those kind of events, mm-hmm. like what you're saying, no one walks in there and knows every fucking person.
Yeah, you're right. It's helpful to like hear it from Stephanie, who, you know, is like so cool, the cover tour, cool. to be like,
yes,
oh,
very
like
cool.
You feel the same like social anxiety.
Oh my god,
and, like, discomforts that we all do.
Really bad social anxiety. I was at the Surf Lodge this weekend, and at 11:30,
it's so intense.
Like,
that place is crazy.
I was there last weekend, and it's too much.
Have to be 17 tequilas deep for it to be tolerable.
Oh, I was 17 tequilas deep the next night at Guns N' Roses, but it was the same thing. Like, I got invited, and it was like a pressing, so I didn't really know anyone. Like, no one really knew each other, but then mm-hmm. I ended up meeting this really nice girl, so it was fine. But in the beginning, it was intimidating, like, when you walk in and everyone is, you know, meeting, and you don't know anyone, and you're going to this thing. Sometimes it's like, I usually end up bailing.
Was it for Fiona's bag line?
The dinner was, yeah.
Yeah, she's
She was on our pod,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Fiona was on our podcast, too.
I
was going to go last week, but I was in California last week.
I have a question back to the website.
Yeah.
So you started out as with the original six, and then what do you think was like the turning point that made your website grow, and when did you start? Like, because this sounds like it was kind of started as a passion project.
It was,
not really a project that was started to be monetized.
Mm. No, so we started and it was really great and it was really well received. So shortly after we launched, we had people ask us if they could advertise on the site. So,
and where do you think most of your traffic was coming when you first launched the site?
I think it was from... I think there were also like another weird perfect storm scenario of because we had been shooting a couple months leading up to launching it. So we would have like banked content.
Mm-hmm.
People were like knew about it and their friends knew about it. So I think people
were waiting for it
to come out. And then also when we launched, everyone that we launched with was either at a publication or associated with a brand who had social media, and then they all wrote about it the day it came out.
Right.
They were like, our so-and-so is featured on this, and sell.com, RIP, mm-hmm. wrote about it. So it was this weird, like, influx of, which was really surprising, honestly. I thought I was like, if anyone but our parents come to this website, it'll be a fucking miracle.
Well, the thing that I was drawn to it, like, the reason why, like, I started going to it is because the photography was so different and the stories were so different. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's like, I feel like that was about the time when, like, all, like, the personal blogging became, like, pretty big. But it's like, if you go to one person's site, it's just, like, one style
right.
and you know what you're getting. And it's mm-hmm. nice to have a place that kind of feels small like a blog, or, like, at that point did. And then also, like, the photography was, like, so different and cool and, like, inspiring. And you could really just, like, see inside people's closets that you would never see anywhere else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I think definitely, you know, we also say when people ask, you know, if you want to launch something or start something new, I think having just something that makes you unique, whether it's your voice or your look or, you know, your visuals, whatever it is. I just think having something that stands out is important. And I think that's been really helpful for us too, because, you know, going forward, however we expand editorially, we have this mandate of ideally you should not be able to find this particular content anywhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
So when did you guys make the turn and start making money off of it? Like, when did you decide that you were going to quit? What was your job before the cover tour?
So I was a stylist.
Cool.
And I think after, so we had been approached by people to advertise, but because we built it as like a passion thing, we didn't have any ad capabilities on the site. We were like, oh, well, no, we can't do that for you. But what we can do is like create a custom story for you, which now native advertising is so big and that's what everyone's looking for. So also that was like a knock on wood, like really good thing also. So we just started creating this custom content for people. And I think once we had like two or three people approach us, I don't even know how much we probably made, like $5,000 in like 6 months. We were like, oh my God, we're going to be rich. We'll just quit our jobs. Or like, right. I think once we knew that there was money coming in and at least we could put it back into the business to like sustain ourselves, that we would just all dedicate ourselves to doing it full time. But we didn't have salaries or like really make any money until like a good like year and a half, 2 years into it.
Which is still like still really, really impressive. Really fast. Because my, like, very different, like starting a website I feel like is even harder than opening up like a brick and mortar situation, because you just like hope that it just like catches. And like what you're saying, it just sounds like it was like a perfect storm.
Well, I always say too with online, it's funny that you said that, like if someone wants to open a store, I feel like there's really particular like guidelines and things. So like depending on where you're opening it, like it should have parking and like be in a area that's like really popular. Like, oh, there's all these things. People have been opening stores for hundreds and hundreds of years, but online, like there's no, like that blueprint doesn't exist. There's no like do these things, no, don't do these
formula.
Things. Yeah.
But the, like, if you crack the code of opening up a successful online store, the, it's just like limitless. Because then it just like opens up so many doors. That's why, like, I have two girlfriends who recently founded a online shop.
Oh, what's it called?
It's called Wiley Gray.
Okay.
I worked at Intermix for like 6 years.
I interned at Intermix.
Really? That's funny. So I worked there for ever, and I met these two girls in working there. And now they started this site, and it's really great, and it's a small site, and it's very specific, and like it's a very specific brand, so like that's great. But I just am thinking to myself, like, I hope that it obviously takes off, but like websites, there's millions and millions and millions and millions of them, so it's like it's hard.
Even like Blake Lively's website didn't take off, and she's Blake Lively,
right?
It's hard, you know what I mean? You really have to find a market for what you're selling.
Hard. I think like picking your audience and really speaking to them, having something different to offer. And also, it sounds so obvious, but like a lot of people's websites are not good, so like having a shitty, like, Cover Tour is actually relaunching in September, but like I even think our website sucks. So like
from a technology perspective, just like user, like, if it's, functionality,
like from a user experience, from, you know, a checkout perspective, like I think if you're trying to buy something online and you have to do like more than 3 steps or 4 steps, or it's not loading, or even like if you are trying to jump between items and you have to like click back through every view of the product, you know, I just think there's things that like can deter people so quickly. For sure. So
I was fiddling around on your website earlier, and I like the component that you have where you can shop, and it just like, I guess you guys curate a bunch of items that everyone's into, and then you can go and it like links you to the site that you can actually buy it at.
Yeah.
I always think that that's such a smart way of sales. So like you're not actually housing any inventory, but people can still, so I would assume that you would make some revenue from that, or how would that work?
So that's just like a straight up affiliate type of thing. So we, make a commission. We actually do it through this really amazing company called Reward Style, who, and they also have Like to Know It, which like makes your Instagram shoppable also. And basically, Amber, the founder, had a personal style blog. And before, all the affiliate links and fashion were all over the place. Like, some were on Commission Junction, some were on Linkshare, some were on Google. So she was like, this is so dumb. They should all be in one place. The fashion, online fashion community is growing. And she started it. And now it's, like, fucking huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That company. And she's, like, very young and successful and smart. It's a very, very good idea. Going back to fashion, would you say, I guess, do you have any tips on, like, personal style or, like, you know, how to find your personal style or what you'd say about, you know, standing out in a crowd?
Yeah, I think that, at least for me, I can tell you my personal experience was, like, 6 years ago, even 4 years ago, I was just, like, buying everything, which also financially was not the greatest plan either. But it's, like, I never took the time to actually figure out, like, what looked good on me, what I liked, what it was into, what it was saying. I just liked it because it was trendy. And, like, that's not personal style. Mm-hmm. And after, you know, being in so many people's closets and seeing so many people, I think what, you know, was really inspiring is just nailing down something that you think speaks to you and something that you feel comfortable in and something that you think that you look good in, and then expanding from there. And I think it's really, like, working with your style, working with your body type. Like, there's a whole, like, whack. Some people just are literally born with innate insane style. And, like, that's right. One thing about it. But if you're really trying to, like, hone in on what works for you, which also just makes it easier to get dressed in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I don't know if this is true, but, like, last time I saw Jilly, she was wearing black lace also.
Yeah.
I wear, like, yeah.
I do. I like to go with, like, the Mark Zuckerberg, except for, like, in black.
Yeah.
And it's mostly dresses. But, like, I literally, in the summer, I just have, like, a bunch of black dresses, and then I have, like, nude strappy sandals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom. And, like, that's your thing. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not that far off either. Yeah. But it's, like, I just know... You know, so, like, things I don't like. I hate skinny jeans. I hate putting my ass into them. I hate how they look. So, like, now my wardrobe is really based around, like, really great trousers, wide leg pants,
love
like,
crop tops.
Like, you know, I think it's also just finding what you don't like as much as, like, what you do like. And then just trying to build off there. And then it just becomes easier. And your closet isn't full of shit.
That's, like, a really good piece of advice that you just gave about, like, the trendy stuff or just buying stuff that really works for you. Because, like, I recently... have decided that I'm going to stop buying things that, like, I really like, but, like, I'm just never going to wear, like, don't look that great on me. Like, I bought these, like, Jean Manolo kitten heel slides that I'm obsessed with from the line.
That sounds pretty glam.
But it's, like, I can only wear those if I'm, like, 6 feet tall and, like, I have a driver. You know what I mean?
What are you talking about?
They're so uncomfortable to walk in, and they don't go with any of my clothes.
I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Not a lot of walking, but, like, if it's not comfortable in the store, it's not going to be comfortable out of the store. Yeah,
exactly. Like, even though they're so cute and amazing, it's just, like, I'm never going
to
wear them.
Sometimes you have to say bye. I also recently did that with a pair of Proens, a kitten heels, and I was like, oh my God, a kitten heel? What 5'4" Jewish girl wouldn't look good in a kitten heel? Everyone. No, it was bad. Yeah. I got them home. I was like, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I find style to be funny. Like, I've gone through so many phases with myself stylistically, but I feel like I always feel comfortable in a t-shirt. Like,
yeah.
I'm very t-shirt girl. I feel like I'm always... wearing a t-shirt or, like, a dress that is also a t-shirt. I don't know. T-shirts, like, do wonders for me. And jeans. T-shirts and jeans. My mom used to always be, like, would always fuss about how much brain power it would take to get dressed in the morning. And she was like, you realize that if you just didn't, like, spend all of this time thinking about what the fuck you were going to wear, you could be spending some time doing, being, like, more productive. Mm-hmm. And my mom loved fashion. She was, like, a fashion queen. But she would wear the same outfit, I'm not fucking with you, 7 days a week. And she would just, like, change it out. Oh. So when she got sick of an outfit, she was like, yeah, I'm done with this.
And sometimes then, like, I do that. Like, I'll wear the same thing, and then I'll be like, bye.
Yeah.
All the time.
I don't even know what my, like, signature style is.
You wear a lot of dresses.
Yeah, you do dresses and tennis shoes lately.
Yeah.
It's your summer style. Yeah.
And you look good and, like, you love, like, a knit, like, a cozy knit sweater.
I do like a knit sweater.
Yeah. And you also look really good in skinny jeans. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to pull off.
I just like sometimes wish I could just wear all leather and like fur coats.
Yeah.
Like during winter, like I just want to have like a leather bodysuit. Yeah.
Yeah, you could.
You can though.
And like acne coats.
I think that it's hard to like, you know, you go through so many people's shit. I have the problem where sometimes I'll look at someone on the street. Like I watch this. Did you watch Iris Apfel's documentary? Yeah. Okay. So I'm watching, for those of you who don't know who she is, look her up. She's incredible.
Basically a legend.
Just, yeah. She's an icon of
And she's like everything. What, 85 now?
No, she's like 92 something, or something.
God. You guys watch it before she goes.
It's amazing. But you know, I'm watching and she's all about more. Yeah. More. Like her life, she's like borderline a hoarder, but no one's calling her out on it.
I've been to her house in Palm Beach.
Yeah.
Like there's Christmas stuff all year round.
So that's funny. Amazing.
Phenomenal.
But she, after I watched that, I was like, why do I dress so plain? I'm like, why do I wear such plain shit? I'm like, I need to be stacking my arms with like plastic fucking jewelry and like wearing Poochie all over the place.
I feel like only if it works for
only
you.
If it
like
works
some
for
people
you.
Can do that, but if it doesn't work for you and you do something, you can see it. You can see it from like a mile away. Yes.
Like I have a friend, Celine Kaplan, who's I think chicest woman in New York. After Iris, and she always wears so much jewelry, and like even when I'm with her, even if I try it on, like it just feels wrong on
me.
Like,
yeah,
it's not right.
You just gotta guys.
Yeah. Can you tell us who some of your favorite features on the Coverture have been and why?
Yes, Miriam Malikpour was really amazing. She is a stylist in LA, and then she also does the shoe line Newbark.
Oh.
I know,
love
right?
their loafers so much.
So much. Mm.
They have really great loafers, guys.
So, and she was just so well edited. Like, you walked into her closet and you were like, I get you.
Mm.
You really like the row and leather pants and, like, really just well-made minimalist pieces. And there wasn't an excess of stuff. You didn't walk in and you were like, oh, my God, this is insane. This woman is, like, has more clothes than, you know, anyone would know what to do with. It's well edited. She knows what she likes. Her personal style comes across. And I feel that one, for some reason, was like the aha moment where I was like, holy crap. Yes. No, you do not need to like buy it in excess to have good style.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like really curating your pieces and your look. So that one was really great. I don't know. It's really hard, to be honest.
Can you tell us about Oprah? Your time with Oprah?
Yeah. Well, time with Oprah was pretty magical. Right.
Did she shake your hand with two
Which
hands?
Which house was it?
Of Oprah?
The Santa Barbara house?
We did one in California. And then another really fun one was, so they closed the Harpo Studios in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so we did the last shoot ever there.
That's so cool.
It was really fun with her. And no one was in Harpo. It was like abandoned, and we were running around, and there were all these rooms with bins filled with old tapes, like hundreds and thousands of old tapes of every episode. And we like brought her in, and Gail was there. It was like a full moment. She was overwhelmed, and then we made her like get into the bins of tapes, and like we took pictures of her and them and everything. But the premise was, so she's moving, she's cleaning out that closet that she had at Harpo for so long, which is massive, and had a ton of stuff. So experiencing that whole scenario, being there for that, was like insane. And then also we asked to get a picture of her outside by the Harpo sign. And honestly, we had not been outside. It had not been a minute. And every single car that was driving by stopped on the streets. People got out of their cars and started like running towards her. Like traffic stopped, people just abandoned their vehicles and were just running towards her. It was so mental.
I bet her closet is so bright.
Like, oh my gosh,
I know. And then her bodyguards were like, no.
But also it's like, yes, I feel like her closet is really bright, but there's a really big difference between your TV Harpo Studio closet and your closet at your home in California.
I feel like given also her like Instagrams and her life now,
she's
it would
gardening
probably be,
all the time.
Yeah, she like wants to just like be around kale and nice people. I think it's more like sweaters and jeans and like more muted
colors. I just always like imagine her on the cover of O, just like literally in like bright red with like seven golden retrievers, you know, just like living.
Or with that, remember that one cover where she had the like that biggest afro ever?
Yeah.
I love that, cover.
Yeah, that was
I
a really good cover.
Who would be your dream feature?
Besides the three of us.
Yeah.
Okay, so besides you guys, I mean, that's obviously number one. Number two would be, and so it's not actually a person, but I think they're both aren't people. So one, like the Archives of Graceland, obviously, hello, everything. Yeah. And then also somehow, if it still exists, I feel like it has to be somewhere, all the wardrobes, like the wardrobe archive from the nanny, because also, hello.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know what's funny is I was talking about Fran Drescher the other day.
I love her so much.
I'm obsessed with Fran, but she's voting for Donald Trump.
Not really?
Yes.
No, she can't be on the same anymore.
So, you know.
She is?
Yes.
But she married a gay. Trump
she did supporter. Have some tweets recently that were under fire.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I read.
Under fire?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm just happy she's still relevant. I'm just happy that we know that she has tweets under fire. That's because I true. Do love the nanny very much. I'm sure that they are.
You know where? If I was going to do a shoot, I'll just tell you where I would be. I would do the Hearst Castle.
Well, yeah, that's like insane.
I'm obsessed. I used to go there. It was my favorite place as a child, and I would go there all of the time.
That's really funny.
And you get a tour. It was the best.
Lucky, like I grew up in DC, where like style was not a thing.
I mean, Orange County, literally, style was like bleach your hair, be as tan as possible, wear a tank top and Miss 60 jeans, and like pray that you're like thin enough that your stomach doesn't stick out of your crop top. Literally, and that's what our high school was. Yeah, and we would drive to Westminster Mall to buy these platform shoes.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, why am I buying these?
Anna is in the new ad. She was on our show. Anna
Speckhart.
Speckhart is in the new Juicy Couture ad.
You guys, Juicy was the first athleisure, guys, was Juicy Couture.
I'm so kind of into
it. People need to remember that.
I could not be more into it.
I have one pair of Juicy pants left.
I gave all mine away.
And the band, the thing that you tie around your waist is like literally coming.
Are they the gold ones?
No, they're those dark turquoise ones. Like they have holes in them. They're totally falling apart.
I could have told Juicy years ago that their biggest mistake was going to be getting rid of that damn tracksuit, because that's like Sean John getting rid of a tracksuit, or like Adidas getting rid of their tracksuit. It's like something that makes the brand. I like how I reference Sean John.
John, I know. I'm like, what?
But it's true. The only reason my brother had a Sean beige velour Sean John jumpsuit with like white piping that I swear was like
that
too
was
big.
Puffy's line, right?
It still is.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, but has anybody seen anybody actually wearing Juicy?
Yeah, you can get Juicy at Kohl's right now.
No, that's not my question. In like Manhattan,
in the new tracksuit.
Have any of us seen a woman, a chic woman,
guys,
in
what?
A tracksuit?
I have an idea.
What?
We're all going out, and we're all going to wear Juicy, and we're all going to go and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You know let's document it. Want a Juicy jumpsuit more than anything? J Lo in
light
the pink.
Yeah. I know. Mm-hmm. It's the best.
Yeah, because I'm
J Lo is like I follow her on Instagram. I'm
everything,
obsessed.
Everything.
She's the best.
47 years old and
she looks nine.
She's like, she looks nine. She's a nine.
She doesn't drink alcohol, you guys. I say it every time, but I think there's something to that.
I'm going to this doctor for like help me be healthier and better and like maybe 5 pounds skinnier.
Like a homeopathic.
Have you guys like heard a Dr. Passler?
No,
but like every single person is my friend Nadia. Then I had dinner with my friend Gabby, who works in fashion, and she was like, I'm going to Dr. Passler. And I was like, I really feel like I'm inside of a TV show and everyone's talking about this doctor.
Who is Dr. Passler?
Okay, Dr. P.
Let me look this person up.
Maybe we should have Dr. Passler on our podcast because everyone keeps talking about it.
So I was just like feeling really shitty. I feel like every doctor I went to was telling me like you're allergic to this, you couldn't eat this, you should eat this, you shouldn't eat that, and then nutritionists, and there was just too much information out there to like make sense of. So my friend Danielle Prescott had been going to Dr. Passler and she like looks great and feels great, so I went with that. And he's really about, you know, your whole life. So how are you managing your stress, how are you sleeping, like what other elements? It's just like not about eating, it's like how are you taking care of your body as a whole. I forget how he came up. Oh yeah, drinking. Anyways, I've been partying my face off, and I went to him yesterday. He was like, well, you're not doing a very good job these past 2 weeks. I was like, I
know. Is he expensive? It's summer and it's so hard to not drink. I realized the other day that I went like, I probably drank 30 days in a row.
Same. But it wasn't even like, some nights it was a little bit here, a little bit there. But I mean, now it's not a secret anymore because I'm putting it on the podcast. But this is the first time this has ever happened to me, or at least in the past 3 years, where I was so hungover on my day, I couldn't go to work. Yeah. Like I'm 31. That's like shameful.
No,
but
I mean,
your hangovers get worse as you get older.
They do.
2 days. 2 days.
They absolutely do. Yeah. I don't know why, but they do.
You guys, I have this problem where I just cannot physically drink more than 3 drinks or else I'll like get sick or have to go home because I'm too drunk.
Good for you.
Because I'm such a lightweight. If it's like the funniest thing. Like,
2+ cocktails, 2+glasses of wine. My anxiety the next day for like 2 days is like crazy. Yeah.
I just feel it.
I know it's like an emotional hangover as opposed to like a physical one.
It just like sits in my throat and it just is like.
You know what's crazy is that it's like all of this shit like. It puts your body under stress, which then in turn just like puts your brain under stress. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, I love drinking like 900 glasses of wine.
Me too. We're going to have a glass of wine after this.
I know.
Yeah, if you want to join.
Dr. Passler approves. Don't judge me.
We have gone all over the map.
Yeah, we've gone from fashion to nutrition
Before we take it to my favorite segment of the show, which is sex exploration. What would your advice be to anyone that is in the market to starting? Cause it's like a photo meets written word blog style thing that you've created to be super successful and engaging. And I know that your biggest thing was to be unique and to be different, mm-hmm. but
so besides having a unique point of view or like some different value proposition, I find honestly the biggest thing is just doing it. So there are so many people who I'm sure you guys even find this too. Like when you're out and people are like, oh my God, let's do this. Let's do that. I really want to do it. It's like, you know what? You can fucking talk about it all you want, but like just starting it and doing it, you're already ahead of like the other 95% of the people who don't ever do it. And just, you know, sort of sit and talk about it. And I also think, you know, getting involved whatever way that is. So like joining conversations on social media, there are so many like panels and talks and, you know, seminars that you could go to. I think just getting out and trying to expand your network in whatever field you're in is also really important. And I mean, staying positive too. Like, yes, it's really great. And I'm telling you guys a story and it sounds like super like roses and butterflies, but like, I've been super depressed during this because, like, we travel a lot and I basically, like, lost all my friends because I was never home. And, you know, sometimes, you know, big deals fall through. Like, it's just hard. And I think, like, being able to just know that and also work through it is really important, too. Because don't give up, but sometimes it'll suck.
Well, yeah. It's good advice. That's really good endeavor or any field. I think that's great advice.
All right, guys, we're going to sex explore now.
Mm-hmm.
We're sex exploring like date night outfits, sexy lingerie, you know,
expensive gold sex toys.
Yeah. To have fun with.
Yeah. Fashionable sex.
Yeah. Sex. Yeah. How to look your best in bed.
How to look your best in the bedroom.
My favorite lingerie, I'll just get to it. I love Agent Provocateur.
Yeah, Asian Provocateur is great.
I think their bras fit really well. You know, I don't have a lot of their panties, but I do think they make really sexy, great bras. And you can wear them under a lot of clothing.
What's the store by your house?
Legend. It's their
a little more affordable line.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, you guys, last time I bought a pair of panties a while back for this man that I really... I know, that's like a really weird term. For this man that I really liked. And like now I can't ever wear them without thinking about the guy.
Oh, just put the guy...
Like, what is that about?
Maybe you should dye them a different color or something.
Ew. They're peach.
Peach panties? That sounds cute.
They're really
cute.
There's
some bleach on them.
But like, is that weird? Do I have like an emotional connection to this underwear?
Not exactly.
I don't think it's weird. I think it's really easy to make a connection, emotional or whatever, to objects. 100%.
It's like they have memories.
Yeah. Yeah.
My lingerie so knows where it's been.
Yeah, totally. I love lingerie. Yeah. I wear a lot of lingerie.
You do? Like, how do you do it, though? Because I feel like people have a problem with being like, are you wearing lingerie during the date and then the clothes come off? Because sometimes if you're wearing like an elaborate piece, it's a little hard.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Or what do? Say I need to go to the bathroom for a second?
Well, my boyfriend and I live together, so... you know, that removes part of the difficulty of the equation. Because right. I can just, like, stroll pop into a room with some lace on. But, like, if we go out on a date or something, yeah, sometimes I will wear something underneath and he has no idea.
Right.
And I'll come home and be like, oh, hello.
One time Lo FaceTimed me and she was like, does this look okay? And it was, like, her full lingerie outfit. I think it was, like, right when you were first starting dating you. Chris. You're like, does this look great? I was like, yeah. I think that he's going to be your boyfriend soon.
What are your feelings? I like La Perla lingerie and Kiki de Montparnasse if I'm being very, like, expensive. Yeah.
Super expensive.
So I have a fave.
What?
So it's Fleur de Mal.
Oh, yeah.
So wearing it right now. So I think the thing is also, like, I used to wear up until, it's not like I'm so experienced. It was, like, literally up until, like, 3 months ago. I would just wear, like, whatever shitty, like, my boobs aren't that big. I didn't need a lot of support.
Oh, no, bras are everything.
So I would just wear whatever. And then I met Jen, who owns Fleur de Mal, and she was like, okay, you're stupid. Just come in, and I'm going to help you. And I think what I really like about going to Fleur is it's a studio slash workspace, and the girls are super encouraging. So, like, you'll go and you can try things on, and then you'll come out and everyone's like, yes, this, no, that, and you need to wear it during the day. Like, it's a really empowering space. So then you leave, like, really, like, feeling good about what you got, feeling good in it, like, wanting to rock your shit.
Yeah.
And also just, like, good lingerie, even, like, a sexy bra. I'm wearing one right now. Well, I knew I was seeing you girls, but, like, you know, I just think it's important every day because it makes you feel, like, fucking good.
For I sure. Agree. I always wear, like, all my bras are sexy. I don't have one non-sexy bra.
I would say the bra that I'm wearing right now is my least sexy bra, but I feel sexy in
it. That's great.
It's just, I like, I've always had really huge boobs. I got a breast reduction.
Okay.
My mom was taking me to Bra Smith, this, like, bra custom, Smith. It's in the Upper East Side. It's this, like, custom bras. Bra place that my mom would take me to when I was little because she didn't know what to do with me. My boobs were, I was like an F. I was like, my tits were eating my body. And she was like, I don't know how to control this. Like, I was depressed that I couldn't go to, like, Victoria's Secret and buy a fucking bra, which obviously, like,
that's you're all you want to do when you're young.
That's all that I want to do. So I feel lucky that I've had a bra education since I was, like, 12, because there are a lot of people that are just walking around no fucking bra. Yeah. So a very good friend of mine, she's finally, like, she did not wear a bra with an underwire till this year. And I was like, girl,
get it together.
We got to get those things up.
I have that problem with bathing suits. Are finding bathing suits that are good for boobs.
Malia Mills, Arez.
Arez, everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's hard, though.
Have you ever... You know Malia Mills.
Mm-hmm.
What I love about Malia Mills is that you can find... If you really want, like, a top that supports you...
Yeah.
You were trying on... Jillie was trying on my friend's Malia Mills bathing suits the other day.
The hardest time. Every time I wear a bathing suit, I feel like a porn star.
And you love them.
Because my boobs.
Oh, no.
And I'm really excited about Malia Mills' bathing suit.
There you go.
They're really good.
I have a couple of Arez bathing suits. I like them also.
Yeah.
One pieces, though.
So also going to back to, like, sex toys, guys. Bringing it back to that.
Sex toys.
There was recently that article in Goop that came out, and it was, like, Gwyneth did her, like, review of all of these, like, expensive, fancy sex toys that were not, I don't know, because it's, like, if you look online or you go to, like, Babeland or any of the sex shop, it's, like, listen, like, I don't necessarily want, like, a purple penis, you know what I mean?
Or, like... And also, nor do you deserve it. It's, like, you're chic as fuck. Your vibrator should be chic as fuck. Like, live your life how you, like, want to masturbate. Like, super high end.
Yeah, I agree. I would really... Okay, so I have a Lilo sex toy.
Okay.
And I'm looking at what Gwyneth wrote about on Goop, and she has the 24 karat gold dildo featured on her site.
How expensive are those?
It's $15,000.
So yeah, no, maybe
no
just,
one spend
maybe,
that on a vibrator,
maybe just
please.
Gold plated.
So you can get the Lilo Tiani because sharing means caring. I believe that I know a lot about sex toys. I believe
tell
that
us.
This sex toy you can actually put in you and keep it in there while you are having intercourse.
And where does the weenie go? That sounds like an emergency room visit.
This
to
little,
me.
This like skinnier end goes in your vagina, and the other one is just like vibrating on your clit, and then a penis can go in there too. And like, that's why it says sharing means caring.
It's interesting because the way you described it at the beginning made me seem like something was inside of you, and then something else is coming inside of you, and it just seemed like something. Went,
These are nice, Jilly.
Tell us more.
Fetish fantasy black glass Benoit balls. I'm pretty sure those are anal beads.
Oh.
And I'm very into those. I would like to maybe experiment with an anal bead or an anal plug.
If you put an anal bead in your butt, aren't you worried it's going to just like get trapped in it?
Yep.
Like,
how do
you
get out? I had a friend who had a real bad anal bead experience.
What happened? Do tell.
I think there was blood and I think she might have gone to the hospital.
Damn.
Oh, see, like, I'm not down for that. Like, I'm down to get sexy, but I'm not down for emergency rooms because of sexy experiences.
Whoa.
But maybe they were shitty anal beads.
That's true.
How do they work exactly? Do you like put them by your butthole and then your butthole just like eats them and they go up into your
butt? It's like a vacuum. It's like...
Yeah.
And then they're gone. I don't know what happens.
No, you can like...
How do you get them out? I've never used them.
You guys need to...
Don't you watch a YouTube video?
Watch Sasha Grey... famous porn star turned actress. She has this video where she's like full doing a lot of crazy stuff with an anal bead.
Okay.
Just watch
Informative.
It. Yeah, just watch it.
Educational.
I dig it. I agree that it's important to do some lingerie work and to wear sexy lingerie underneath your clothes.
Do you think it's intimidating when you are like dating a guy or hooking up with a guy and you like bust out a vibrator? Like, do you think guys like it? Do you think they're intimidated by it?
I think that it's a conversation.
Right.
I was in a very serious relationship, like almost kind of engaged, whatever.
Yeah.
And he did not like it. No.
I did it the other night with my boyfriend.
But I personally think, for me if I was dating a guy that had a problem with that, I would be annoyed.
Right.
That because I think that it's like, exactly. But not saying that I would want to use a vibrator every night with a guy, obviously, but like, I don't know. I want someone that with an open mind.
To me it's like a conversation piece, because like, why are you using it? If you're using it because your boyfriend can't get you off, then that's probably your problem.
Not at
but
all.
If it's like just, you know, like on occasion, just for fun.
Yeah.
That's, switch it up. That's
cool. Like hot sauce on your eggs.
But I think that my ex is like jealous, but it's like, you can't be jealous of like a vibrator.
Yeah. Like, well, unfortunately, I think it falls into the former category. Which is like a problem.
Exactly. Which is why, that's why our relationship ended. Just kidding.
Over a vibrator.
I think that sex toys, introducing them into your sex life can be really cool. I think that why not? If you're feeling the vibe, literally.
Good one. But yes, it's nice that they're making chicer versions. I like that. I feel like I feel like there's all these different products that were mainly marketed towards men that are now becoming marketed more towards women, which is really great.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, I feel like it's not, then it like reinforces like, this is not something that like you should be embarrassed about. It's not like in some like weird shady shop. It's like chic places where like-minded women who like that type of stuff can go, and it doesn't feel like seedy.
Exactly.
But also, even if you do buy your vibrator from maybe kind of a sketchy shop, feel no shame in that.
No shame.
Because men get to fucking spit on their stupid little hands and shake their weenies and come all over the place, and it's a little bit harder for women sometimes.
Yeah.
That's all. What a statement.
I dig that.
I have one more question before we wrap it all up. What do you say if you are dating a man and you are turned off by his underwear?
That is the worst.
What is the conversation to be had? Just I really want to
buy him some new underwear.
Yeah, buy him some new underwear.
I think I would just be like, what's up with your underwear?
But like, what do you mean? Like, are you talking about full boxers instead of and you prefer boxer briefs?
No, okay.
Or is it like Looney, like he busts it out and it's like Looney Tunes 1990?
No, but I would honestly, if would like some that. Guy, I'd be like, get it. I'd be like, okay. Because that's like, a coveted piece in a wardrobe is some vintage. Remember Joe Boxer? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
But like if a 31-year-old man like pulled down his pants and he was wearing Joe Boxer, it's like, does your mom still fucking buy it?
Yeah, exactly. But I meet so many guys whose mom do still buy them underwear and shit like that.
That's true. A lot of people get underwear for Christmas or Hanukkah. Yeah.
And then they pull it down and it's like a reindeer nose on their dick. And you're like, well, I certainly don't want to do anything with this.
I'm not a fan of the traditional boxer.
Oh,
to
no.
Me,
no.
That
I like
is
a
like,
boxer brief.
Me too. Same. Everybody likes a boxer,
brief. And I just think that if you are, you know, 28 or older, it's boxer briefs or bust.
Agree.
Or I gotta go.
Boxer brief. 100%.
Fruit of the Loom, Hanes, all these like very normal generic brands are better than anything else.
Yeah.
And no sport fabric, okay?
What is a sport?
Like,
you
know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I don't get that specific.
But apparently,
that's probably more comfortable for their balls.
Apparently, men's Lululemon boxer briefs are like the holy
grail
of undies? Men's underwear. Yeah,
interesting. Wow. I've not done so much research. I've been blessed to have experienced only boxer briefs as of recent, so
that's good.
I dig it. Stephanie,
mm-hmm.
We're so excited to have you on the show today.
Yes, yes. So lovely. I learned nice so much chat. About the fashion industry.
I did. Oh. Fashions. Generally, we have our guest shout out a lady that they love.
Okay, can I shout out two?
Yeah.
You can shout out seven.
Okay, well, the first one's obviously my mom.
Hi, mom.
I love
What's
that.
What's your mom's name?
Helen.
Hi, Helen.
She's real glam.
I actually hope Helen isn't listening to this, considering this exploration.
Really, I hope she's not listening.
But we love you, Helen.
Hi, Helen.
She's really nice. She runs a breast cancer center in
wow,
Toronto.
Wow, what is it called?
It's just in a part of a hospital.
Oh,
but
great.
She also is like badass bitch, like take no bullshit.
Wonderful.
I really like hanging out with her a lot.
That's great. I love a mom.
Love a mom. And then the other woman is actually someone that I recently just met, Desiree Gruber. So she is the founder and CEO of Full Picture.
Mm.
And I was interviewing her yesterday and just hearing her approach to, you know, owning a business and, you know, her style of management. She has like Full Picture University where she offers like courses to all of her staff on, you know, just a range of topics. And she's very, you know, pro helping people problem solve, and just her whole philosophy towards, you know, running a business and having a really good environment. It's something I believe in, but was just, I don't know. It just spoke to me. I want her to be my, she doesn't know yet, but I'm going to make her my mentor. So.
Oh, cool.
That's aww. Really nice.
Desiree Gruber.
That's wonderful.
Shout out. She's one badass bitch.
Cool.
Great. We love
email
it.
Her the link to the podcast and then she'll get to the
I'll
end.
I'll be like,
and
don't
listen
to it. Listen to the end.
Yeah. Amazing. And where can our listeners find the Coverture? Is it just at the Coverture on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah. At the Coverture, thecoverture.com.
Cool.
Great. It's beautiful.
Great. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you guys.
And thank you guys for listening and keep sending us notes. We really love them
so
much.
Yeah, we love your emails.
It honestly means the world to us. And yeah, that's it.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.